Emmanuel, be faithful to your promise in this marvelous name. Be with us as we study your word today. Guide my lips that I might proclaim your praise. Open our hearts to hear and believe the good news that you are Emmanuel, God with us, come to save us. Amen. My dear fellow members of God's family, as we look forward to celebrating Christmas, I'm sure that all of us would just desire to have the picture-perfect Christmas family. But probably all of us have people in our family, or maybe our work family, as we gather for a Christmas work celebration, that you would just rather not be around. Things have just added one thing to the next, and there's just this feeling of resentment towards somebody, or maybe they have that towards you, and you just wish that maybe there would be a SWAT call to rescue you from your Christmas celebration. Now, maybe that's just a little bit too far. Resentments are always there, but it does seem like at Christmas, the pain of separation between family members, co-workers, friends, neighbors, it intensifies. There's ghosts from the past, things that people have done to us that impact our Christmas celebration, that rob us of our joy. It is this ghost of resentment that we want to face today. And it's my prayer that as you and I study James chapter 5, we will see that Jesus is the Christmas judge who has come to exorcise that ghost of resentment. So let's take a look at James chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. James writes, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, waiting patiently for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." This is the word of the Lord. There is an interesting phrase in this text. It says, "The judge is standing at the door." I call him the Christmas judge. We're looking forward to celebrating the coming of our Savior. But the scriptures also make plain that Jesus is the judge. In John chapter 5, we're told, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." And just a few verses later, "He has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. The one who has come to save is also the one who will come back at the end of the world to judge all people." Now, those of us who have experienced hurt from other people, offenses have piled up. There's a part of us that says, "Yeah, Jesus is coming as judge. Get him." Right? They've hurt me. They deserve to be judged. But if we are going to exercise that ghost of resentment that wells up in our hearts, we have to recognize that the coming of the Christmas judge, first of all, is a call to humility to all of us. For example, when you and I grumble about others, what are we doing? We are basically saying, Jesus, I know that you're supposed to be the judge, but could you step off of the judge's bench and let me stand and sit down in the judge's bench? Because after all, Jesus, I really know who should be punished. What kind of arrogance is that? Don't grumble, James says. The coming of the Christmas judge is a call to us, not to grumble, to repent. In fact, there is an interesting description or a translation for that word grumble. I was surprised to see that the word that's translated grumble very often is translated groan. It's the same Greek word. So you just think, you know, as you're going through life, people do things to you, and it just starts to add up. And after a while, that burden can get pretty heavy. No wonder resentments build up. No wonder we start to grumble. But if you think grumble in the term of groan, how many times does one sin against us cause groans? You know, nobody else may hear it. Let me just give you an example from my own life. Now, I've told this story many times. You know, I was talking with my circuit pastor early on in my ministry. You know, the circuit pastor is the pastor's pastor. And I was grumbling and complaining about a member because that member had burdened my heart with something that she said. And the circuit pastor asked, well, when's the last time you talked with her? Well, about 10 days ago. And he said, who's got the problem? You see, one sin brought hundreds and hundreds of groans. One offense multiplied by all the times that you and I have groaned. Grumbled to God, maybe nobody else heard. Isn't that a call to repentance? Now, certainly there are some huge offenses that people have committed against us, and I don't want to diminish that. We'll talk about that just a little bit. But so often, the offenses that people commit against us are relatively small, but we multiply our own sins. And so, as we think about the coming of the Christmas judge, recognize that he is coming to judge us. But his coming is also an invitation to trust him. To trust, first of all, his Christmas gospel judgment. This is the Old Testament lesson from last week. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah foretells that the Savior will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with justice he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. With righteousness he will judge the needy. By whose righteousness is Jesus going to judge you and me? By our own? Then we're lost. But he comes with this gospel justice. The Son of Man can serve as our judge because the Son of Man came for the express purpose of taking all of the weight of our groans upon himself. His Christmas gospel just judgment is that you and I are forgiven of all of our groans. Trust the judge's Christmas judgment to you. He comes to give justice, gospel justice, to us. Trust also his timing. In our text for today, it says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, waiting patiently for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now, to understand that verse, we just have to understand just a little bit about farming in the Holy Land. In the Holy Land, most of the rain actually falls at this time of year, from December, January, and February. But the Bible hardly ever talks about those heavy rain times. Usually the Bible talks about the autumn rains or the early rains, because they plant in what we would call the fall, and the spring rains that come towards the end of March, early April. These are the critical rains, because a farmer couldn't break up the soil until the rains came. He couldn't plant too soon, because if he planted too soon and the seed sprouted, but the rest of the rain didn't come, the seed would be ruined. And if that latter rain, the spring rains, didn't come, then the crop wouldn't reach its full maturity, kind of like the August rains that farmers need in our climate. Now, think about the farmer. The farmer, he's eager for that planting season to start. But what can the farmer do to get the rains to come? Just wait, right? There's absolutely nothing that he can do. He just has to trust God's timing. And the rains at the end of the growing season, same thing. James says, the judge is going to come. And we can trust his timing. That you and I don't have to take upon ourselves the responsibility of judging people for the offenses that they have committed against us. That if they remain unrepentant of their sins, the judge is going to come at the right time. Part of your homework for this next week is to read Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, the psalmist admits that he couldn't understand, why is it, God, that the wicked and the arrogant seem to prosper? The people who have hurt me, they seem to prosper. Why? The end of the psalm makes it clear that the answer is found in waiting patiently for the judge to come. We can exorcise the resentment ghost when we entrust the judgment for the offenses against us to the judge, who judges in righteousness, who gives forgiveness to all who desire that forgiveness, but who will also come in judgment on those who reject his forgiveness. Trust his timing. The judge's coming is also a call to each one of us to be patient. Now, the very word patience implies that you and I are going to suffer. Sometimes we're surprised that we suffer as though everybody else around us should be perfect so that we don't have to suffer when they sin against us. Because certainly we never sin against them, right? Be patient. The whole idea of the word patience is you are long-suffering. But be patient also implies change. It was interesting that at our Minteam meeting, one of my teammates mentioned that, you know, when he said to his kids when they were growing up, be patient, it was always kind of a negative connotation. When do you tell your kids, be patient? Well, when they're impatient. Be patient. Be patient. You need to change. You and I, if we're going to exercise that Christmas ghost of resentment, it also calls for change on our part. So as you prepare to go and celebrate Christmas with your family, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, what are you going to wear? What are you going to change? The Apostle Paul in Colossians talks about our life as a garment to put on. Let's read this section together from Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, it's easy to put on an ugly Christmas sweater for a Christmas party. It's really hard to put on the right kind of spiritual clothes to get ready to celebrate Christmas. It's hard to bear with each other and forgive one another. What it means is having to say no to the sinful nature within us that looks at every offense that somebody has committed against us and we want revenge. That's the natural reaction. You and I have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. This is what Jesus says over and over again. It's putting to death that sinful desire within us and putting on the new self that wants to be like the Savior. The new self that celebrates this heavy load of guilt that I am carrying, my Savior has forgiven me. He has a grievance against me, but he has graciously forgiven me. How can I not also forgive the grievance that I have against somebody else? It's hard to put on this kind of clothes. And that's why I appreciate that there is another word in addition to the word patience in this text. The text uses the term perseverance, that the Christmas judge can produce perseverance in our lives. Now, perseverance has the idea that there is a heavy load that you and I are carrying. Perseverance is the idea of staying under, of remaining under this heavy load, of not putting it down, but keeping on and carrying it until the end. James wrote, "You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about." This is really the key to perseverance. That the Christmas judge lets us know how the story ends. You know, as Job was carrying that heavy burden of having lost his entire family, having lost his wealth all in one day, and then another day losing his health, so that he is in so much pain that he just wishes that he would die? This is an incredibly heavy burden to carry. But you and I know how the story ends. You and I know how God gave Job rest, that God provided him with greater wealth than before, that God healed his body, that God gave him more children, and ultimately that God gave him eternal rest. You know how the story ends. But Job didn't. And in the midst of that suffering, he trusted. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. He didn't know exactly how things would end. You and I don't know how our stories are going to end either. But we do know the ultimate end. You and I know this end, that as we carry heavy burdens, and they may be incredibly heavy burdens, people have done incredibly hurtful things to many of you that have just changed your life, and it is an incredibly heavy burden to bear. But you know how the story ends. You know that in spite of the fact that you're carrying this heavy load, that the Christmas judge has forgiven you. You know that he is going to be present with you, Emmanuel, that you aren't carrying this burden alone. And you know that someday you're going to put that burden down and enjoy eternal rest. The Christmas judge has come to let you know how the story ends, to give you the strength to persevere, to carry up under the heavy load. It's not easy. But very often, it is when you are carrying heavy loads, when there are all kinds of reasons that you could say, I deserve revenge. And yet, you entrust judgment to your Savior. You celebrate his forgiveness. It's when you're carrying the heaviest loads that our God is glorified. Let me give you a modern day Job story. I had never heard of Pete Frates until this past week. He was an athletic young man. Baseball, hockey, what was the other one? He was a star at Boston College, the captain of the team, a semi-professional baseball player. But at 27, he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And if you've ever known anybody with Lou Gehrig's disease, I have a friend who had Lou Gehrig's disease. It is a horrible, horrible disease. Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, your mind stays as sharp as ever. In fact, Pete said that, I think my mind got sharper as my body stopped working. You see, your mind is as sharp as a tack, but your body stops working. Till at the end, all he could move were his eyes. Talk about heavy burden. But when Pete was diagnosed at 27 that he had ALS, he didn't give in to a desire to be angry at God, to say, oh, woe is me. Instead, he gathered his family together and said, we are going to use this heavy burden that God has placed on us, this as an opportunity to let the world know about ALS. I didn't know Pete Frady's name, but I knew about the Ice Bucket Challenge, and he started it. Raised $220 million for ALS research. Even Bill Gates did the Ice Bucket Challenge. This is Bill Gates doing it. The heavier the load, the more it becomes obvious that you can't carry it alone. And that Jesus is the one who will give you the strength to carry it. But I just want to say, some of you are carrying incredibly heavy burdens. People have hurt you in horrible ways. And I would remind you that we are here to bear one another's burdens. I can't hold this rock up very much longer. Ron, could you just help me a little bit? You see, we are here to bear one another's burdens, right? If there is an offense that you've experienced that's threatening to destroy your life, don't carry the burden alone. Find a friend that you trust who can help carry it. You know, the two of us couldn't carry this rock for very long. But if we all work together, I bet we could carry it for the rest of our lives. We're here to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. With that in mind, let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Exorcise that resentment ghost that wells up within my heart. Come, Lord Jesus, as the judge that convicts me, that reminds me you hear all the groans that nobody else does. Come, Lord Jesus, and remind me of the Christmas gospel judgment, that you have borne the weight of all of those groans, that each one of us here is forgiven. Come, Lord Jesus, work in us a trust that you are still in control, and that we can entrust judgment to you, that it doesn't depend on us. Come, Lord Jesus, and give us strength to bear the burden of the offenses that people have committed against us, to forgive them as you have graciously forgiven us. Come, Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see the people who are bearing some burdens that are too heavy for them to carry, and help us to step into their lives and help them carry that burden until finally, when you come back on the last day, we'll be able to put our burdens down and find perfect rest. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.